Welcome to Landmark Ministries. Thank you for joining us today as we prepare our hearts for yet another in-depth look into the Word of God. We hope this message gives you encouragement and brings you closer to the power of Jesus. We're so glad you're here today. God is calling your name. We've been studying through the Bible book by book, learning more and more about God's love and plan for us. Thanks again for being here. Enjoy today's message.
Good morning and welcome. Hello. It is good to be here. It is good to see you. Oh, you're my church family. I enjoy talking with you and slowly getting to know you all. It's a wonderful feeling to have a church that we get to call a family, isn't it? So 2 weeks ago, we're going to just jump right into it. 2 weeks ago, Revelation assured us that Jesus, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. That Jesus has already won, that he is victorious, and that he's in this process of making all things new, bringing heaven to earth. Last week, that was 2 weeks ago, last week, again, launching from Revelation 5, Brandon helped us connect assurance in Christ, or abiding in Christ, or union with Christ. And he used John 15 and 16. So to recap these last 2 weeks really quickly, not only are we assured that Jesus was and is victorious over the powers and the principalities of sin and death and the devil, these are our real enemies. Not only that, but we are also invited to be with and in Jesus and to share in his victory, as well as to become ourselves vessels of where the Holy Spirit dwells. So placing these two amazing truths together, side by side, where they belong, we can begin to make all sorts of connections about what amazing times we live in today. So last week, Brandon asked us a couple really good questions, really good and practical questions that I'm hoping we get to spend a little bit of time on today. So question one, how do we plug into God or abide in him and stay relationally connected? That's question one. And question two, beholding all that Christ has accomplished and done for us and creation, what's our part? What are the good works that God has planned for us long ago? So those are kind of a couple questions. And these two questions lead to our big idea this morning, that worship involves prayer. Talking with God about everything and actually expecting God to interact with us. So let's go to our main scripture passage this morning and see what else Revelation 5 has to offer. And you can follow me in your Bibles. We're in Revelation 5, and we'll be looking at verses 6 to 10. And so Revelation 5, 6 to 10, I'll be reading from the ESV, starting in 6. And between the throne and the four living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they shall reign on the earth." There's the Lord's word. If you want to keep your Bibles open or your phone app open, I want to take a look at verse 8 and then we'll take a look at verse 10. But let's take a look at verse 8 real quick. That each of the 24 elders are holding a golden bowl full of incense. And these are the prayers of the saints. A precious thing. Those prayers must be worth to be contained in gold. A kingly gift these golden bowls of incense seem to be. How wonderful of an aroma our prayers must be to the Lord. The incense rises up into the presence of God. That's what incense does. Filling his throne room with a pleasing fragrance. The prayers of the saints, your prayers, my prayers, our prayers seem to be quite valuable and precious to God. To have your longings and your needs and your cries, your hopes, your fears, your heart's desires offered to God in a bowl made of gold. To have the deepest, most vulnerable parts of who you are, the most fragile parts of yourself declared to be a pleasing fragrance to the King of the universe. Can we even imagine how deeply God loves and values us? How can we begin to understand how precious we are in God's eyes? How much we bring him joy when we enter his courts? This kind of love is what Jesus invites us into when he calls us to abide in him. The triune God, the three in one, is quite eager for us to interact with him, for us to pray with him, to be a fragrant and pleasing presence within his throne room. Jesus Christ has conquered our enemies, Satan, evil, sin, and death, in large part so that we can be in his presence. Or to make a call back to Genesis, for us to once again walk and talk with him in the garden in the cool of the day. That was verse 8. Let's get into verse 10. So we read in verse 10 that God has ransomed a diverse group of people to be for him a kingdom of priests, that they shall reign on the earth. Are you catching another Genesis callback here? Remember what Adam and Eve's work was before the fall? Well, we'll have a chance to read it if you want to. You can listen. You can turn if you're quick, but I'll read verses chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. And I want us to pay special attention to our job descriptions. I'll try and make it evident in the inflection of my voice. So verses 26, 27, and 28. In Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Dominion. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Verse 28. And God blessed them. And he said to them, another one, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth." What is our original job as God's image bearers? What are these good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them? Or as Ephesians 2:10 in the NLT that Brandon used last week, what are the good things that he planned for us long ago? I love that, long ago. I love how Revelation acts kind of like a bookend, hearkening us back to the beginning. Since these good works have always been the work that God designed for us from the very beginning. As Revelation 5:10 states, "You, O Lord, have made them a kingdom and priests of to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." But this is what Genesis 1:26, 27, and 28 are describing. If and I'm allowed to, if we smush these together, this Genesis and Revelation together, I would conclude it something like this, that we have creative dominion and responsibility over this world to carefully steward and tend God's good creation, to be fruitful and multiply numerically, relationally, communally. Here's what I'm trying to get at. By the blood of the slain lamb, the costly, life-giving blood, he has ransomed, he's purchased, he's acquired from all over the globe a people that he has fashioned into a kingdom of priests. And these priests shall reign and rule over the earth, just like God originally commissioned Adam and Eve back in Genesis. This isn't a new job description in Revelation. In fact, it's mankind's original job. And unlike God walking in the cool of the day, wanting to walk and talk with mankind, but finding them that they hid in shame and in guilt because of the sin, because of their sin, we read in Revelation 5 that Jesus finally defeats sin and death, that Jesus has bought us back at an enormous price and brought us back into the community of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that we can be in communion with him and his body forever and ever. Amen. In Christ, one of Paul's favorite terms, in Christ, our relationship with God has been restored. And we are now in a place once again to be able to perform the good work that we were designed to do from the beginning. To be a kingdom of priests, to reign over this world with and alongside our Lord and Savior and Creator. What I love about going through Revelation, and I hope you've noticed this too, is that we have to continually go back time and time again throughout the whole Bible just to make sense of what we're reading in Revelation. It's like Revelation is completing all of the thoughts and all of the themes throughout the whole Bible, acting as God's last will and testament, as Brandon is fond of pointing out to us. So then, abiding, like a little girl raising her arms up to daddy, knowing with absolute certainty that he will pick her up, abiding. And like back in the garden, in the cool of the day, walking and talking with God, we are invited to abide in Christ. And we've got good, creative, and fruitful work to do with him. Let's talk about prayer now. Right? Now the sermon begins. I'm just kidding. We've been at it. So let's talk about prayer now. And to do so, guess where we're headed? That's right. We're headed straight to the Bible, of course. God's word to us. And more specifically, in Matthew 6, we're gonna spend a little bit of time in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. You may be familiar with this prayer, and well, blessings to you if you are. As I read this in the ESV, feel free to join with me in this prayer. You can say it out loud. And keep two things in mind. That our prayer in a moment will be a fragrant offering in bowls of gold offered to our Heavenly Father in love and in relationship. And two, that we now enter into the good work, some of the good work, that God has designed us to do. You're invited to pray with me in this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because Jesus Christ is the Lion and the Lamb, We get to talk with God right now, like we would if we were to walk and talk with him in the cool of the day. We get to talk with God about everything and expect him to respond or to interact with us as one who loves us. Remember Brandon's first question? How do we plug into God or abide in him and stay relationally connected? One of the main ways that we abide in Christ is to talk with him about everything and expect that to have him interact with us in the scriptures and through his body of believers. This is why scripture and church community are so vital to Christian life. And by the way, in the sermon notes, there's an excellent article if you want to read more on how to listen and hear from God. It'll be in the sermon notes. So by abiding in Christ, plugging into our spiritual older brother through the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we are invited to call the God of creation by a relationally intimate and familiar term, Abba, Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We, as we abide in Christ, as we talk and we walk and we talk with God, we get to take part in the family business, partnering with God and bringing the kingdom life into this world. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And this leads us to Brandon's second question. Beholding all that Christ has accomplished and done for us in creation, what's our part? What are the good works that God has for us from long ago? How are we to discern and know and figure out what God's will is for our lives unless we ask him and search his written word to us? How are we to know what our needs are and what this day holds for us? Give us this day our daily bread. How are we to figure out how to love and help our fellow brothers and sisters out without ourselves being connected in an interactive relationship with God in the body of Christ? His community. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. When we talk with God about everything, every thought, every emotion, every action that we take, every part of our histories, the story that we drag along with us, every anxious thought about the future, every sensation that's going on in the present, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The more we talk with God about everything and look for his response, specifically in his word and in his loving body of believers, and the more we open our lives up to interacting with God and his body, the more we will find that he is creatively involved in this world and in our lives, bringing about his will. And all this relational energy we invest in with God and his body is itself part of the good work that we were designed for, because we are abiding in Christ. So prayer then slowly over time recalibrates us to do more and more life with God. And our loving Heavenly Father, Abba Father, is ready and eager to bring about his will on earth and in our lives with us and through us. Every single day, right now, we are invited to respond to God, to remember back in Genesis 3, God was walking in the cool of the day and how Adam and Eve hid from God out of shame and guilt? Remember that story? Remember how God responded? God asked, "Where are you?" And it's not like he didn't know where they were. This is more of a question of, why aren't you with me? Why aren't you, I'm ready to walk and talk with you. Where are you? This is mankind's natural response. It's to hide and to cover ourselves when God approaches. But from beginning to end, the Bible is a story about God pursuing mankind, finding us terrified and unable to move, and himself lifting us into his loving arms so that we can get back to walking and talking. We can get back to the good works and prayer with God. God has already made his choice. He chose and continues to choose to walk with us, to talk with us. It's crystal clear in the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ that our triune, our three-in-one God, is eager for us to be with him. So as we respond to his relational invitation and him pursuing us, our prayers are a fragrant, beautiful offering of incense rising up to meet God, who is delighted to receive them. Would you pray with me? Lord, there are books and books and books. There's 2,000 plus years of church history and wrestling with what prayer is. And by no means do we have the corner market on it, Lord. But we have you. We have you. You are close. You are near. You are with us. You are eager to interact with us. You're so eager. In fact, you gave us a big old book with a giant, wonderful, beautiful story about you claiming us back to yourself and you making all the wrongs turn to right. God, and it's not just a story, but we have instructions. We have good work to do. And part of that good work, Lord, is connecting with you. In reality, in the present moment, is to talk with you and to be with you and to abide and to trust. These are things that we do with other people all the time. You ask us to do them with you as well. And so, Lord, guide us. Hear our hearts. Hear our cries. Hear our desires for you to make everything right again and for us to help out, Lord. We give you our lives. We give you our hearts, Lord. And in your Son's precious name, amen.